We're back after a short hiatus. We're still in our respective bunkers here with Doug Fogler.
Yes,
Doug is literally in his basement.
I'm literally in the Zoom room. This is our office here. So, but I'm surrounded by architectural pictures and diecast scale model cars. So I'm in the right mood
right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, she actually designed some of the pictures of the buildings. I did not design any of the cars. So yeah,
No. But we can still talk about them. I guess. Well, it's been kind of a weird couple of weeks. We're doing the same thing everyone listening is doing, kind of laying low. You know, all the car stuff has basically been cast aside for the time being, right? I mean, all the new car releases, the new Ford Bronco's been put on hold.
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Managed to sneak in a drive this weekend, but
driving, as many people have said, driving is at least a social in these COVID-19 times is a socially acceptable practice. At least it should be. Shouldn't be any controversy there.
Acceptable.
Yeah, you're social distancing. Yeah. You're not harming anybody else.
Some people, because it's not essential travel. But this is coming from some of the same people who are out on their own forms of conveyance. It was a beautiful weekend here in Denver. At least it was until it wasn't, and it dropped about 50 degrees and started snowing.
But
beautiful day here this last Saturday and Sunday, and a lot of cars out. But you've seen some interesting cars just up and down your street from
I was doing some work in my garage on Saturday, and I saw some good stuff. I saw a Lotus Exige, I saw a GTR, I saw a number of 911s go by. And then this morning in the snow, I saw, I told you this, a 718 Cayman S black drove by.
Which seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah, it didn't seem, I mean, there was no accumulation on the road, but still, it still seems like it's a little risky though.
I saw a guy on a motorcycle, so go figure.
Yeah, yeah. And then I sort of quasi stalked this this Panamera Gran Turismo, the station wagon.
I think he lives
only a couple blocks away from me, so I may have to stalk him in real life now.
Well, you saw 718 Cayman. I saw two over the weekend when I was up for a drive.
Yeah.
Which I think doubles my sum total of all the 718 Caymans I've seen. I saw a yellow base with a temporary tag on it, brand new, looked like a guy and his son, so they were sort of out for a cruise. And then I saw I think it was a Miami Blue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was a base, an S, GTS, whatever, but it looked to be a Miami Blue with LED headlights, so I'm guessing it was probably at least an S, if not a GTS, but driving in the canyons with a yellow, it was either TTS or TTRS.
Okay.
It's a pretty good-looking combination.
Two more, and they're both 718s. So I wonder if that means like nationally, if we exploit that, it means like the sales have quadrupled, right?
Yeah, I think people have been listening to our show and going out. And,
yeah, well, he said that one guy had temporary tags. Maybe he just figured he had the money, and he's like, I'm going to go, you know, steal one of these off a lot for probably like $49,000, right? I mean, for a S.
I think that would be a tough find. But I want to say this: the base now is over 60. I'm sure you could get a few thousand dollars off.
Well, maybe 55,000, maybe.
But you know, no idea if they were manuals or PDKs or what. I saw a couple 718 Boxsters out this weekend, which was kind of nice. You know, it's funny because I got away from one of the Caymans and a headlight flash from the other, and both of the Boxsters just drove right by. Just two different kinds of drivers, but
I think anyone that's as we've said, anyone that chooses the Cayman is an enthusiast. Not everyone that drives a Boxster is an enthusiast. Some are, but some aren't.
I think there's some people just to get it for the badge or it's convertible or whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of Boxsters, maybe the best sounding car I ran into this weekend, and there were run into isn't the right word, but that I encountered this weekend was actually a first generation Boxster, silver. Don't know if it was a base or an S or whatever, but obviously it had some sort of cool exhaust on it, and it was ripping up the canyon, and it didn't look like it was moving at the fastest pace in the world, but it sounded amazing. So it did sound way better than my my 718. So
okay.
That is a the flat six. It is a good sound, especially when you've got a nice exhaust on it. So to whoever was driving around the, I think it was a first gen Boxster silver with great sounding exhaust. Hat tip to you. I was a little jealous of that sound.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That's so. I mean, I guess you can do a lot with the exhaust system. Even like you said, even if it was a lowly base first generation Boxster with the, was that a 2.5 liter engine, I think, or 2.7? I don't know.
I should 2.7? Probably. 2.7? I wish it was 2.7.
Maybe it's 2.7. Yeah. 2.7. Yeah. I think it's 2.7 around 200 horsepower or something like that, if it's the base.
Yeah. 201.
Yeah.
You know, not a bad car. You know, I know that I've tried to talk you into one. I think they're a lot of car for the money. You've got to, you know, obviously consider the IMS, the RMS issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But wow, it was really, especially with that exhaust. I mean,
it's the looks for me at first, but I've been seeing a lot of them that have like the, if you get that, I think this is what I would want to do is get the, take out the taillights, take out the headlights, replace it with like a clear set in the front and then all red in the back. They have kits that, you can do that with. That goes a long way to handling a lot of the exterior looks for me. The interior leaves a lot to be desired. It's definitely from that moment in Porsche's history when they were definitely trying to curb costs a lot. Have you ever sat in one? Have you ever sat in like a first generation Boxster?
Yeah, I'm sure I have. I don't recall offhand.
But it was the one I test drove was like the last year of the first generation. It was like a 2004. It was an S, but still it like left a lot to be desired, but it was fun though. I have to admit, I mean, it did sound great. It felt great. It was a good car. It was a 2004, Boxster S. And I guess the major thing on a 2004 for those who are nerding out like we are, is that it has a glass panel in the roof. It's the only year from that generation that has that. So the rest of them all have the plastic instead. So
got it. And see, for me, I like the very first Boxsters because I think they were the closest thing to the concept car.
Yeah.
I've never been bothered by the quote unquote scrambled egg headlights. I think they're totally future classics all the way. And if I had a big barn and a lot of money, I would buy up all these amazing examples that I see, popping up for, $15,000 and less, but
Well, it's
the
highlight
of my.
Yeah. Was there anything interesting on your trip there? on your drive?
Oh, on my drive?
Yeah.
There was. It was kind of a boring drive. You know, we talked about how there's about a third of the regular traffic. You still have the same jerk sitting in the passing lane. We live in Denver, as most listeners know, and we're both pretty close to this big north. The interstate that goes through Denver is Interstate 25. Both are pretty close to it and take it frequently. And it's five lanes, as it goes through the city, I believe, this part of town. And I got on tried to make my way to the passing lane, doing my thing. And of course, there's a guy in a pickup truck that's still sitting in that passing lane. He's got five lanes, and he's got to sit in front of me. And then, of course, when I went to pass him on the right, he floored it to try to prevent me from getting by him. I just don't understand people, Doug. Of course, it was no problem for the Cayman, but it was. I guess my point is, you've got a third of the traffic, and you've still got the same jerks out there sitting in the
bus. Yeah, that's annoying. So basically, he wasn't going fast in the fast lane, but then when you went to try and go around him, he tried to be like, he's like
exactly. And it's surprisingly quick for a pickup. I think it was a brand new Ford F-150 or something. I don't even know what sort of powertrains they have, but the trusty came and made quick work of him, didn't like that too much and followed me to my next exit for some reason. But
oh really, did he like, he followed you off the exit?
I people are funny, right? So
you gotta be careful out there. So there's some people who that's how some of these road rage incidents start.
Apparently he owns the road, but yeah. anyway I did make it to the mountains eventually, and did sort of the usual route. Did feel guilty for some reason being out. I think technically some of the county roads in this area are closed right now, but that just made for nice open roads. And
well, that's interesting. Why? So are they? I didn't hear this. So are some of the roads actually closed? Like,
this was in, I think, Clear Creek County, which is one of the little counties west of us here in Denver. Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's not a whole lot in Clear Creek County, some mountain roads and stuff, but yeah, I don't want to mention a road.
Okay.
But I had a nice drive on one of these mountain roads, and went up the mountain, coming down the mountain, and saw in my rearview mirror a really nice R8. Mm-hmm. Of course, then I saw nothing but red mist, Doug.
The red mist descended.
Drive down the mountain.
Yeah.
The little, the Cayman, it's a fine automobile.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am always, I was amazed at the cars that it can seemingly keep up with. And, this was a well-driven R8. Mm-hmm. And, it was a fun, it's always more fun when you're driving with someone else. And, it was a fun car to see behind me in my mirror. Probably got a little too, probably overcooked a couple of the corners a little too much with the sand that's still left over from the winter.
Yeah.
The guy in the R8, he pulled up, and then I stopped at the stoplight, gave him a thumbs up, and rolled down the window. It was a couple, I immediately noticed that was a V10 R8.
Okay.
It must have been one of the last of the first generation, so maybe like a 2012 or 2014.
Okay.
Don't know if it was a manual. I think they did make some manual V10s, but it was a coupe.
Yeah.
Very nice car. Beautiful car.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I think it's almost every time I see one of the V10s, it's almost always the dual clutch. But I think it was possible to get one. Though.
There were some sticks.
Yeah.
I can confirm. But they were really good sports. And basically, gave me the thumbs up. And in my excitement, I didn't even tell them nice car or nice driving or anything. So if you're listening, nice driving, nice skills, beautiful car, hope to see you out on the roads again. And
what color was it?
Well, I don't know if I should share probably not my finest moment.
Okay.
Driving on public roads, Doug.
Okay. So you're embarrassed about something. Okay.
I'm not embarrassed, but there was a corner I took a little too hot. And you ever watch those Nürburgring videos? Because that corner, everyone loses it.
Okay. But you didn't lose it, though, right?
I didn't lose it. No. And
So you'd be on the great saves supercut, basically,
Yeah, the line between hero and zero is a thin one, Doug.
Yeah,
and I got lucky. I'd like to chalk it up to skill, but I'm sure there was at least as much luck. I guess at this point in my driving career, I at least know to keep my foot in it.
Yeah,
and that's saved me a few times. So let's just say that's what I did. And
I just heard
right there behind me. So.
I just heard somebody I was listening to on one of my podcasts who said that if you're not almost about to crash, then you're not going fast enough. So
yeah. Well, we did get a few dirty looks from cyclists and things, but as mountain is it, right? Anyway,
that's right.
It was really a fun drive, and it was fun to mix it up. The R8 sounded great. The Cayman really held its own. I was pretty impressed, and it was a cool couple, and enjoyed driving with them. So if you're on the off chance you're listening, I hope to run into you again or encounter you again. Mm-hmm. On the roads. It's nice to see some other enthusiasts out. And, for people like us, this is how we relax. And this is how we get out. And we're social distancing. We're not.
I think it's a perfectly appropriate thing to be doing. And I don't care if anyone thinks this is unnecessary travel. I mean, who's out there worried about that anyways? I mean, what do you...
Well,
you know, it's like, are you taking gasoline away from an ambulance? No.
No, definitely not. In fact, gasoline is super cheap right now. Yeah. If you haven't noticed.
You got to, yeah, support your local gas station owners, you know? Yeah. So
I filled the car with premium for $239, and I think if I had shopped around a little bit, it would have been a lot less. But,
yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. I'm a cyclist, too. I'm primarily a mountain biker. But I see both sides, and I always go out of my way to give people on bikes on these roads as much room as I can. And, you know, I always try to acknowledge them, slow down. I really do. I am cognizant and do try to be share the road, just because I know sometimes I'm on the other side. Mm-hmm. So this immediate, you know, look of death or you know, get shot these dirty looks sometimes. I don't always think it's right. It's another conversation for another time, but.
Well, yeah. It's something I think about. It's probably the one thing out here in Colorado we run into consistently is having to, the same roads that we want to drive up are the same roads that those guys want to ride up, basically. You know, I wonder if in an ideal world we could have roads that were, you know, just for driving enthusiasts and then just for bicyclists. You know, we share, divvy them up and split half and half, and you know, but I know that's not going to necessarily happen. Although I have in my head, I have this ideal dream of, like, you know, much like a ski resort. I wish there was like a driving resort that had alpine roads.
Yeah.
No speed limits. And, you know, you sign a waiver whenever you buy a ticket to get on it, and you just can go drive up it as fast as you want. So make some of the roads one directional, like you were mentioning. So,
yeah.
I think that would be fun.
It's possible, but.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, there's enough people with money out there to make anything possible, but I don't know if it's a good business plan or not, but it's like, sort of my pipe dream. Have a nice sort of like eagle's nest type sort of building up on the top of it all, and you can all gather up there and kind of look down on the roads and stuff and have some good food. So I don't know.
Yeah. Just, hey, maybe that's something we can.
I don't know. I think the land will be relatively cheap to buy. It's paving the road to like a high quality is going to be the problem.
Right. Yeah, it's probably not the best business model. But
yeah.
These houses that are occasionally there'll be a house up for sale in the state, and there'll be like a small racetrack on the property. You know.
Yeah.
And I always thought that would be pretty cool, but I mean, I guess that's the beauty of driving on the roads, right? You have some options. You know, you're not. I think you get burned out in the same small track pretty quickly. Not to say it's not super cool.
I think it would be fun, but you're right. You'd get to drive, and you'd get that sort of adrenaline of driving and, you know, maybe beating your lap time or whatever. But yeah, I think you could get bored with it. I agree with you. I also like the idea of just like driving and getting to a destination and seeing the views and going down a really great, you know, road. I think that's part of the joy for me is the destination sometimes and the getting there. So, you know.
See, this is where you and I differ.
Yeah.
I want to get in the car. I just want to drive. I don't want to stop. I don't want to drive anywhere. I want to do an A to A drive. I don't, you know, you know how funny I am. I want a garage. I want to,
I understand that too, but I love, I guess that is where I don't mind doing that, but I love the idea of going on like a grand tour, like, you know, going down some great roads. You know, getting to a fun destination, you know, pulling over and then having a beer and talking about the drive. I like that a lot, you know, or having a coffee and talking about the drive. Well, so that kind of thing. So,
You're absolutely right. And that's why we need to get on some of these press fleets, because I think that's what I could really enjoy when it's not mine. And obviously I would take care of the car, but I wouldn't stress so much about, say, street parking or whatever. But
Has your Cayman ever been parked on a street anywhere and left?
I think there's one time I can picture it parked on the street. I was on this Automobile Exotica drive this last year, and we stopped at a shop in Basalt.
Yeah.
And of course I had like a GT4 behind me. I mean, I had one of the cheapest cars there. You know, there were vintage Ferraris, there were, you know, GT3s, there was a 997 GT3 RS, you know, and I, of course I was even still stressed about that. But I'm funny.
Well, yeah, I bet I could produce some data that shows that, for example, the guy who has the base Cayman, you know, that's like a, a big expenditure for that person. The guy who has a GT3, it's probably like a rounding error on his on his personal balance sheet, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But like, you know, it's like I don't think many people are like stretching to get a brand new GT3. It's like either they can afford it easily or they can't. So look at a guy like Jerry Seinfeld. I mean, the guy's got everything he wants, right? He's to the point where he's going nuts, to the point of I've even heard him tell a story about how someone backed into his 73 RS. And he basically he said, I just didn't even want to talk to the woman who did it. I didn't want her in my life any longer, so I didn't even get her insurance information. I just let her drive off.
That he went over and yelled at her.
No, I heard that he heard it crunching, and then basically, yeah, maybe he did yell at her, but he just didn't want to, like, she apparently got mad at him for whatever reason, and he didn't want to deal with it, and so he basically just, like, let her go off, even though it was clearly her fault, and her insurance should have covered it, but he was just like, you know what?
You know, I've got him on speed dial. I could confirm. Yeah. Or, I'm kidding. that's Spike.
Spike Ferriston. I like to think we're the poor man's Spike's car radio. So
that's right.
I'm definitely Zuckerman. You're Ferriston. So yeah,
that's right. You are the attorney.
I'm the attorney. Yeah. I'm personal injury attorney. Yeah.
I did enjoy their and I haven't been listening so much. So again, busy with work. The last few weeks, but. The last episode that I did listen to of theirs, what's the podcast called? It's not Car Matchmaker, that's his TV show. It's
Spike's Car Radio.
Yeah. Also on Podcast One, so we do share that.
Although I think they changed recently though. They did. Yeah, they're on I might be his own podcasting label. It's like called Hangar 56 or something.
That must be a new thing.
Yeah, the last couple ones he's been announcing it as on that. So I think it's still available on Podcast One, but I think it's ours. Yeah. Next is, you know, Adam Carolla's CarCast. Let's just take them down too, and then we'll be the number one car-based podcast on Podcast One.
I've been checking. We have not charted in Thailand since the last episode or whatever that was, where we hit 96.
I still tell people we're big in Thailand, and that's important.
That's right. But no, I was going to say on Spike's show, I did enjoy the story about the stolen car.
Yeah.
It was recovered.
Yeah.
With the pornography inside and
I think possibly the meth usage.
To your point, you couldn't be less upset about it. That was my car.
Well, and I know that particular car, I think they share it, I think Spike and Zuckerman, they like join on it. And part of the reason they loved it was because it was so well preserved. You know, it was like such a great low mileage. I think it's an 87 or an 88. It's a late model.
Carrera.
Yeah, what do you call that first generation? Is it like G?
The 911.
Well, yeah, the nine. It was a 901, then it was a 911. Yeah, the G, whatever you want to call it, G body or
It was the G50 transmission.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they call it the G body too, or?
I think they do. I think in some I think in some circles it's referred to as G body. Okay. I mean, it's like I've heard impact bumper, but it's like late impact bumper era. The point is it's that last it's the last iteration of really the first 911, you know, the ultimate expression of it before they changed to the
964.
Exactly. So.
But no, I think I appreciate the way I like that adding to the story, whatever. I wish I could be at that level, but to your point, I think money has a lot to do with that. And, it's just, anyway,
But I think it's okay to be obsessed about your car. I mean, it's your special car. You want to keep it as pristine as possible, and it represents, like you said, it's like you worked hard to get it, you have it, and you want to protect it now. So
that's it exactly. So obviously you haven't driven anything since we last talked, because
no, I'm afraid to go to a car dealership, man. Honestly, this would be a great time to buy a car if I wanted to, though. I mean, I feel like the deals are to be made. Deals are to be had out there right now. So
yeah,
but I haven't bought anything. Although I've been, I told you I was going to tell you my latest hair brand idea. I'm sure this has come up in the past, but you know, I really love those first, not the old original ones, but the first generation of the new Mini Coopers. What do you think about those?
The first generation
of like the new Mini Cooper.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, 2004, 2005, you know, 2002, 2004.
Oh, yeah, like yeah. I think those are really the purest in form of any of those Mini models. But yeah, I mean, they definitely drive like front-wheel drive cars. I like them. I think if I was going to get one, I'd have to go like JCW, the John Cooper Works.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
And I don't remember. I know they alternated. I think the first ones were supercharged, then they went to turbocharged or vice versa.
Yeah, it's the first. The way you said it first was right. They were originally supercharged, then they switched to a turbo engine. And I guess the turbo engines have a little bit of a reputation of not being as reliable, where the supercharged engines are considered a little more stout. So
Probably a little less tunable.
Well, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of options out there, though. So,
but you can't just dial up a supercharger like you can a turbo, can you?
I guess it's not as easy to. Yeah, it's like you can't just get an access cord, thing, and just remap it
with superchargers in different ratios. Or
it's like the ECU. You don't change things with just the ECU, right? There's like more mechanical, stuff involved. Yeah, so, But I don't know.
I've always liked those. I've always liked the way they've driven. I've always liked the exterior. Never been crazy about the interior of Minis. They've always been a little too cartoonish for my taste. But I remember when those came out, I wanted nothing more than one of those. Yeah. And I would have taken a base model at the time. And they were a little out of my budget. And I ended up getting buying a Volvo S40 at the time. But I really wanted a Mini at the time. I thought those were the coolest things. I was living in Chicago. That was a great city car. It was a car that sports car. I do think you'd want at least the Etz, though.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad's got a Clubman, the first generation, I think, Clubman with the turbo. It is an automatic. I mean, it's more of a daily driver, I guess, for them. And he's got a Miata with the stick, so so can scratch that itch. But they're pretty quick. I want to say they're 160 horsepower, at least his generation, maybe 170. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun car. It's been a long time since I've driven it. But I think they're pretty cool. I think the hit on those is that they're BMW class expensive to maintain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep running. But there were some quirky, some quirky things. I mean, every car has got its Achilles heel. I'd have to do some more research, but I've always loved the way they look. I love the way they drive. It can be made very quick.
Yeah, it's one of the best.
Mixed it up with a few tuned Minis.
I feel like, I feel like I'm pretty prejudiced against any front wheel drive car, but that one I feel like it because of the wheelbase being so short, it's like less of a problem or something. Yeah, I don't know. It's I've test driven one recently, and it really had like a decent like just go kart kind of feel to it. But it's not a pure sports car for sure. I think it would just kind of be a fun sort of tossable little car. But I've been seeing some of them dropping below even $4,000. Seems like that just seems like really inexpensive for such a fun car,
So I guess like anything, buy the best one you can afford.
I was gonna say it's like it seems like $3,800 is possible, but maybe 5,000 or 6,000 should be worth the budget.
Yeah,
so
I guess I'd want to do my research. I feel like BMWs of that era had all these. It was the Vanos issues.
The rear subframes. The rear subframes on the E46, and then also the Vanos valve timing.
The same era, And I don't know enough about those cars to really speak with any authority.
Yeah.
But I know they've always admired them. I've always thought they were cool cars. I don't know that my dad has had any issues with his. This might be a little bit later. Maybe the second. It must be a second generation that he's got.
I think by the time they had the Club. So the Clubman's the one. This does have like the ones that on the back that open like a refrigerator doors,
which are really cool.
Yeah, I love. I do kind of love those.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's those are. I think those are all turbocharged. They're like a little bit like. I think those are 07 and or 08 and on.
Okay.
So, but I do kind of like those too, though. I kind of like that those little doors on the back, and I thought I could turn the back of it into like a panel thing and put the steering committee logo right on the back glass there. Yeah. Drive it around like a bread van, you know.
I don't have the steering committee logo on my car.
Yeah.
But
if I had that, if I got a Clubman, I would definitely put it on there. That can be the advertising vehicle.
I'd probably throw that on the Tiguan before I would the Cayman. Anyway, I think we're probably at 20 minutes or more, so we should maybe pause here and come right back. You know, I did listen to our latest episode. You know the ad they're running with our podcast now? It's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. No, it was not Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It was The Bachelorette. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Apparently that's our target. That's our demographic. Huh?
The Bachelor is one of the biggest shows in the country.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow.
We'll pause this and we'll be right back.
Well, we're back. One of us has hit record and we're back again. So we're still learning this Zoom technology here and how it's going to affect our podcasting here. Although I have to say it's better being able to see you as opposed to just doing like a speakerphone.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I feel like it helps with the conversation dynamics. I don't know if how you feel the same way. But yeah, I mean, I was gonna talk a little bit about something we love here, both of us, is station wagons, and maybe do a little discussion about that and why I love them. And Ryan, feel free to interject at any point. But
I love a good station wagon as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're. I don't know if it's just because maybe it's because of our age. Like we both probably grew up more in station wagons more than minivans and SUVs.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had both, but. I'll take a station wagon over a minivan. And I don't know what it is. I think because they are so sort of like anachronistic at this point or whatever, right? I mean,
they're becoming, there's so few of them on the market.
Yeah, there really are.
True station wagons are becoming an endangered species. And then the rarest of the rare is the performance station.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much aren't all wagons at this point premium products?
Like, do you consider the Outback to be
thinking out loud product? What's available as a wagon right now?
Probably the most popular wagon is the Subaru Outback. And I don't know if you consider that a premium brand or not.
Yeah, kind of an aspirational. Yeah. I mean, you can still get
they're getting up there in price, but I don't think they're not like, they're not terribly expensive, though. I mean, they're not.
No. But so you can get an Outback. You can get a 3 Series wagon still, right?
No, I think that just disappeared. I don't think that's available anymore.
Really? Okay. Oh, yeah. Maybe for this very new generation. Okay.
Yeah, I think as recently as a few years ago, but like I think now I don't think you can go in and get a brand new 2020 BMW 3 Series wagon.
Okay. I'll have to check that. I thought it was that you couldn't get a manual wagon was the deal, but maybe it's no wagon at all. You can get the new Volvo. There's the, you know, the V, is that the 90?
Yeah, the 90, and then they have the cross country still.
Right. Well, and then there's the Polestar version now, right? Which is the performance version. And then I think you're going to get into this, but the E-Class Mercedes is still available.
Still soldiering on, yeah.
Even the Audi
is a regular, and then all the way up to an AMG spec.
Yeah,
And then Audi, Audi. You know, it almost flickered out, but the all road has always been available. Yeah.
Now it's the A4 all road, not the A6.
Yeah,
and it is a much simpler device. It's not this, you know, the adjustable suspension of yore. I mean, it's a pretty much just a slightly lifted A4 wagon, right? And I think that's the only version you can buy.
Yeah, well, it is, except that, well, now that the RS6 Avant is
That's right. That's a biggie, too. So
you got the, you've got the apex predator of the sport performance wagon coming back to the United States. So finally give the AMG some competition. And people are pretty excited about that. And I guess people are excited about it, but I mean, no one's going to buy it, and then it'll disappear again. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
The RS6,
people who can actually afford it aren't going to buy it, and it'll disappear again. But
Wait, you're talking about the RS6?
Yeah.
I think they're going to sell every one. I think people are going to pay over premium for those. And okay. Sorry, I was just checking this. Yes, as of this year, we are no longer getting the BMW wagon, but apparently you could buy one up through the last year.
Oh, you could.
But anyway, yeah, that RS6 wagon, but how much is that thing? It's going to be like 100 and...
I think MSRP is 120, so...
Yeah, yeah, that's... I think they'll sell every one. I really do. We'll see.
I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. I really do hope I'm wrong. I'm just so cynical about this. I feel like we get these things and we love it, and all of us that actually would love to own it, we never buy it, and then it disappears.
So, yeah.
So as I mentioned in the first segment, that Panamera is available as a station wagon. I guess technically, I don't know if that's really a station wagon.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd put that one. I'd categorize that one as a station, as much as I like it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a. I mean, what do you consider it then? Is it like a?
It's more of a hatchback, but then the regular Panamera is a hatchback, right? I mean, it's like the
regular Panamera is a hatchback, though.
Yeah. I mean, and then where do you draw the line? Because I mean, you can get you could get the Tesla Model S with seats in the back, and it's a hatchback. But was it the roof line? I mean, like, what does it have?
Yeah, I think it's a proportion. It's a proportional thing of the roof to the back glass.
Yeah. So, okay.
Basically, like the longer the roof is, and the sharper angle on the back denotes to me more station wagon.
You know it when you see it, kind of thing. That's
There's lots of people out there who've done these, like, you know, form Jalopnik. I'm sure I can definitely specifically recall a guy there talking about it's almost like a formula of sort of how the angle of the glass meets the roof is really what determines if it's a
station wagon. Right. Forget.
I know which one you mean, but that's also due to be canceled too,
though. Right, but aren't they still selling it? And I told you my brother-in-law has one. He's probably listening. Hey, Scott. Yeah. I love those things. I think they're super cool. What are they called? They're called the Cross X, Tour X.
You're right. I was excited when it was available. I was like, oh, look, a new one. It's I think it's a good-looking car. I think they're available in all-wheel drive, I think, or maybe they're all of them are all-wheel drive.
Buick. The actual name is the Buick Regal Tour X. And yes, I think 2019 may have been their last. Well, no, it's coming up on the Buick website for 2020, but I think it's on borrowed time. But they got rid of that other Opel-based Buick, right? The elusive convertible that rental fleets. I think that's officially dead. So you're showing me a B7 Audi S, I guess it's an S4 on screen right now. I owned the sedan version of this car, 2008, the last year. It was a great car, but it was not a sports car, especially with the 6-speed automatic that I had. I'm wondering if a wagon wouldn't have been the better body style for that car.
Well, you know, and I guess that's what kind of gets me to one of my things about why I like station wagons in general. These are just some other fun ones that were all on the same day of Bring a Trailer. There was like 9 wagons for sale on Bring a Trailer. And then now this is an older RS6.
So I have to interrupt real quick. I saw a 2003 RS6 in the Canyons this weekend. First one I've seen in years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the dolphin gray that you always see. You know, he was stuck behind a car just like I was, but I assume he was there to tear it up. But still, what a neat car. I was excited to see that as I would have been, you know, an exotic. I really was. They're so cool. And we, of course, never had the wagon here in the States, right?
What's that? Sorry?
We never had the wagon here in the States. So the one you're showing me is...
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure if we ever did, and maybe this was a gray import, or maybe it was from Canada. I can't remember. But you know, I got to send you a picture. I was driving by. There's a auto repair place near my office that I ride by my bike sometimes, and there were two of this generation RS6s parked next to each other.
Really?
Like, they must be mechanics at this shop, and they both have their own. They're slightly customized, slightly sort of not too bad, but like, you know, they both have like a little bit of a individuality to them. So I'll get you a picture and send that to you.
Yeah, I'd love to see that, because that represents probably a good percentage of extant RS6s. I think they only imported 1,200 or something. So you saw two of them in one place?
I saw two of them parked side by side at the same place. I'll try to see if I can get to the picture.
So. I mean, a third of them have to be off the roads at this point, right? They were, what, 1 year only, I think, 2003. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
well, maybe you might know more about this than I do. I didn't realize they were that sort of rare.
So. Yeah, I believe there were only 1,200 imported to the States, and they were 1 year only. And I think there were just a handful of colors, and there was one big, I can't remember what they called it, but there was the big option was there was a sport exhaust that you could get. And I think you could tell by the taillights if they were blacked out or something. But I've always liked those, but yes, to your point, we were never sold as a wagon, as far as I know. And,
Not here.
That would have made them all all that much cooler, I guess. But
yeah,
you're showing me a 2007 E63 right now.
I am. Yeah. No, I picked this one. This was one of our, I picked this as an auction of the day. Basically because I don't think I've ever seen an AMG in green. Have you ever seen it?
I didn't Hoovy have a green one, not similar than this? Maybe it was the previous generation or earlier.
Well, maybe he had this exact one. I found that out later after.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Yeah.
This was his car.
Okay. Yeah. And he did videos about how terrible it was, right? So these clickbait videos.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's so a bunch of people said I wouldn't touch this one because Hoovy stanked on it. But, it didn't,
he sold it as the cheapest, or he sold the videos as this being the cheapest E63 wagon.
Yeah, he said he bought it as the cheapest one. Well, because it has, I mean, as it sits,
208,000 miles.
Yeah, 208,000 miles on it. So, but you know, the person said that the person selling it now is not Hoovy. He must have sold it to someone else.
Yeah.
They talked about how they had like $10,000 to $15,000 of recent maintenance done on this thing, and all documented. So,
wow.
But you know, it didn't. They obviously, the reserve must have been higher than $13,250. So
yeah, that's.
I just was excited.
Cool.
Green. It was green, and it was an AMG.
Yeah,
I've never seen that.
It's forever got the Hoovy stank on it. That's what I worry the about. Stank on it. Yeah, I think that's our key, Doug, to success, to start charting here. Let's get into a YouTuber versus podcast war with Hoovy. He's got a million followers or whatever. We've got a couple hundred. We can.
We've got a diehard army of maybe 100.
That's so. Right. We're short but funky, right? Maybe that's our key to the big time here. I thought this car looked familiar. And I mean, I've always thought this is basically the coolest dad car you could have, right? We're both dads, both parents.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen some cool cars roll up to my daughter's school, but there's something about an E-Class wagon that's just, it truly is a sleeper. You know, there aren't too many true sleepers left, right? This truly is a sleeper, you know, especially when it's a few years old.
It's older at this point. The fact that it's the green with the beige interior like, makes it even more under the radar. I mean, and I love how these are just, they're not, you would have expected this to have been, you know, fire breathing, whatever, 507 horsepower, but you would assume it would have been all wheel drive, but these were all rear wheel drive.
Yeah. That generation. Right.
Yeah. They were just straight up rear wheel drive. So it's like, you know, it doesn't make it a great car for Colorado, you know, mountains and stuff, but it's just a hot rod. You know?
It's just awesome. You know what? It probably sold for about what it's worth, and not that 200,000 miles even scare me on a Mercedes, although I don't think this was the best generation as far as build quality for Mercedes. I think this car has led a rough life, right? Maybe not.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I just, You know, it's a little bit question. I guess that's the thing. 208,000 miles makes me start to be a little bit nervous. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, it didn't sell at 13,250. So I don't know what they were expecting to get, but.
So I'm sorry, that was a no sale at.
Yeah, no sale. Okay. 13,250.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't have a YouTube channel where all you talk about is the cheapest this and the worst this and the, you know, the salvage title this, and then not that this was a salvage title, and then expect to flip it for top dollar when you go to sell. I mean, this guy, he's made his name, you know, bringing cars to CarMax and seeing what they'll give him. You know, I don't know if this is.
Well, and to be fair, the guy selling it was actually not Hoovy. Hoovy owned it, and now this guy had sold it. Yeah, this guy. But this is another one I picked, and this
the one's taint of Hoovy.
It still has it. That's why it still has it.
So to speak.
But you know, I was. You know, you were talking about how you were obsessed about the minis. You know, in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
I was really obsessed with these. You know, these bug-eyed WRX.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So for those of you who Doug's not sharing his screen with, it is 2002 yeah. Subaru Impreza WRX wagon. So after my fun jaunt with the enthusiast and the R8 this weekend, the enthusiast couple.
Yeah,
I was coming down 285 in Denver. And I had a guy, young guy in one of these very same cars, not as nice as the example you're showing me, trying to mix it up a little bit. And that car got around the corners pretty well. I was impressed that, you know, I was able to pull away from him pretty easily. But he was right there behind me in the corners. I was pretty impressed. I like these cars.
Yeah.
This is a good example. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a pristine example. So this one, back on April 6th, sold for $12,500, 66,000 miles on it. I mean, looks like it's completely, a quick scan of it. It looks like it's non-modified. So
this is a nice one. Yeah.
It looks like they did the factory short shift, which is a nice option. So, okay.
Gladly have this in my fleet. This is a cool. This is the one to get. They call this the World Rally Blue, or is this not quite that?
Yeah, this is World Rally.
Okay.
Blue.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So this is. I had as listeners, I'm sure are tired of me saying I had a 2014 WRX, which is the next major model change after this. This is the first one. This is the first generation that was available in the United States, and it went through a couple different facelifts, but it was the same car. And my dad actually had a 2004, which is a very similar car to this, with a slightly bigger engine, in it. And it was, I drove that every chance I got, and I drove it like I stole it basically.
Yeah.
So sorry, Dad, if you're listening.
It's water under the bridge, but
The car is unfortunately long gone, so it wasn't my fault though. These are just so fun though.
Yeah, this is the most WRX of the WRXs in my eyes.
Okay.
WRX color.
Yeah,
it's the right body style. It's the right year. You know, with the bug eye, right? That's what we're calling this.
The first two years of the round headlights, they're called the bug eyes.
Yeah,
and then it goes to blob eye and then eagle eye. So
I bet the reserve was like 12.5, and it sold for 12. I mean, that just seems really well bought.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about that. I mean, the really nice ones on these. I mean, I see them going for with more mileage on it. Frankly, you know, they're advertised at, you know, 10 to 12,000 all day long.
So, really? Okay. You know, okay.
This guy thought he had like one of the best ones in the country, which he might have.
I think this is money in the bank. I think, you know, I think if, you know, economy doesn't tank and all that in 15 or 20 years, I bet this is a $30,000 car.
Because it's going to be so hard to find one that's not
It already is.
Yeah, it's already hard. Yeah, I mean, the finding these pristine ones, because some of these did find their way into, like, you know, more mature, older, you know, hands right off the bat, and, you know, were treated pretty well. But to still find one now in 2020 is hard. So
right. Would you take the wagon over the sedan?
Absolutely. I don't like this generation. I don't like, I don't really like the sedans that much.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. No, I like the wagon. And the wagon was the only, was only the first generation, right?
Yeah. I mean, by the time you get the generation, it's a hatchback. I don't call it a station wagon anymore. Mine was a hatchback. So, now it's not even, now it's just all sedans.
Yeah. What was that real ugly couple of years where they knew it was ugly and they like changed it right away?
2008. Well, which is so the Impreza changed in that time period. Which is what this is based on, and they kind of laid an egg with that. So the you can find 2008s out there really cheaply all the time.
So, it's just kind of a funky.
They didn't change the styling all that much, but then they basically, they just bolted on a much bigger turbo. So what they did basically is they didn't change the horsepower at all. Yeah. They came out with a new, uglier looking one.
Right.
And offered it with the same horsepower. And, you know, it was kind of a big sales flop. So,
well, and the first gen was so iconic and, you know, I mean, it was really, it had personality. It was a cool car. So, and then yours was the style that came out in 2008 then, is that right? Or no, it's yours
it's like a modified version of it, you know, it's like,
so right, they fixed it.
What it looked like in 2008.
Right.
And it's just very generic.
Yeah, that's what it was generic, and it was the sedan that really didn't look that great. The hatchback was, in my eyes, much better looking.
Yeah, this was the better of the two, arguably. I'll show you a picture of a sedan. Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. It looks like a, I don't know. It's just very generic. And what they did is they added a few nicer pieces onto it. They redid the suspension and they put a better turbo on it. So these only had like 230 horsepower.
Right.
Okay. They put the different turbo on it and it had 265 right off the bat.
So. The WRX had 265 by this, but wow, okay, that's pretty impressive.
It was a big course correction.
I remember that. Right. Yeah. Well, and power talks. Right. I mean, that'll get your.
It did. I mean, it did. It made sales bounce back right away. I mean, so mine was a 14. It was the last of that generation.
And yeah.
265, 240 pounds per feet.
Okay.
Okay. It felt fast. I mean, I love that car. So
yeah, I got to drive that. That was I think right before you got rid of it. That was a quick car. That was a cool car.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad.
This was a nice example that had all the checkered boxes.
Yeah. I miss that car. It's hard. It's, you know, I've been looking at maybe replacing it, and it's you know, it's now they're like, you know, the similar examples. Mine had about 66,000 miles.
Yeah,
it's like people are asking like 18,000 for that.
Really, you know? Really, no kidding.
2012 to 2014, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well,
yeah. But, I mean, station wagons were definitely a favorite of some of our listeners. I got some interesting Subaru and other station wagons in the steering committee army here. Will Porter from Denver has a 2005 Legacy GT wagon.
Wait, the Will Porter?
Yeah. What's that?
The Will Porter.
That is the Will
Power. We had on the show. You talked about this car, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, this is a great car. This is a unicorn because his is a manual.
Right.
Which is hard. That was really hard to find. I think it's only available. I think this wagon, the Legacy GT wagons, were only available for 2 years, and hardly any of them had a manual. But his,
yes,
he's been offered huge money every time he goes into
really?
The service department. Yeah.
Well, that's a bring a trailer car someday, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I told him, I said, you should probably sell that and bring a trailer if you ever decide.
Yeah.
And then Sarah from Redondo Beach, she's trying to keep up the station wagons. Her most recent new car purchase was a Golf Sport wagon or Sport Track wagon with a manual transmission.
That's cool. So I've
the previous generation Golf with the one that just got replaced recently, but with a manual transmission. So she's doing her part. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
and then give me just a moment here. We had a great collection here
I just saw the comment on Facebook. So Doug is our Facebook, our social media guy here. So I don't always see everything. And, I generally agree with any post, so it's cool. But I just saw RJ in Japan RJ, I just saw your comment about Tyler Huber's bad juju. It's so funny because I just said that and I hadn't even seen what seen your comment.
Oh, you didn't know that he wrote that too?
No, absolutely not. No, it's funny. He sent me a note, RJ. I guess I was in Tokyo, he said that on our last. We were talking about the unsung hero cars. He was basically mouthing Mustang LX 5.0 Fox body as I was saying it. So apparently we are right on the same page with some of our listeners. So appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that's interesting.
That's funny. Well, I'm glad to know we're not the only ones who think there might be some bad juju there. It's funny.
No.
I'll have to like that comment. I don't know if I'm allowed to like comments, right? Even if I'm not the administrator, I'll have to love that comment.
I'll put it on there that the steering committee in general approved of that comment.
Yeah. Well, of course, shout out to my brother-in-law with his Buick. Shout out to my brother-in-law with his Buick. He's apparently one of the 40 Tour X owners in the United States. I mean, you know, that's that counts for something.
They're going to be an elite auto club in the future.
Yeah, they'll
be like the guys who own the Tucker torpedoes.
That's right. Right. Hopefully, by the time they hit the whatever the Radwood circuit is or whatever, or Pebble Beach, they'll have figured out the start stop system on that car, which apparently is not defeatable.
Okay.
I understand that's the big complaint of people that own those. But
so I apologize to Alex from North Andover. He gave us a great list of station wagons that he has actually owned. He's definitely a torchbearer in this category, but it included a great collection of older Subarus. Growing up in an old, I think he said his parents had a Roadmaster or something similar. So that's what he spent time in, and is a current owner of the Volkswagen Crust. What's their all-wheel drive one that's like the kind of like the Outback fighter?
Well, it's the all-track, right?
All-track, yes.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Thank you. It's probably at 20 minutes again here, huh? So we should probably wrap this up. Okay. All right, we will be right back. All right, so we're back, and kind of strange days with this COVID thing and stuff, and so what automotive news there has been sort of limited, but there have been two stories that I guess piqued our interest. In the first, you've probably heard about, listeners, is the Cannonball run, new record as of a week or two ago. I think that the drivers are still anonymous, but they did it in a 2018 or 2019 Audi A8L.
Yep.
Auxiliary gas tanks.
Yeah. Yeah. A bunch of fuel cells in the trunk.
So, right.
They crushed the old record.
Yeah.
I think you got some people wondering if it's fair to do when there's not many people on the road.
Yeah, what's your position on that? Because
I kind of agree. I kind of feel like part of it is doing it with you do it with like all the normal traffic conditions that everyone else has had to put up with.
I think the record stands with an asterisk. It's like it's like an Olympian who they later found out maybe took steroids. I don't like. Is it that sort of? In fact, that's the headline we're looking at.
Yeah.
And I thought this was really interesting
This is the controversy I've heard, is that like a lot of the guys who have done this, who are kind of in this little club, they kind of have a problem with taking care of this while we're on. And it's not even really, of course there's a question of should someone be spending time and resources and money on this, more importantly, I think they're more upset with the fact that it's like they had an unfair advantage.
I think so. And offhand, I'm only really familiar with a couple of these past record holders. And, the one is Alex Roy. And who's the other one? The guy that does the VinWiki stories or whatever. And they both seem, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to be stuck in the car for 36 hours or 25 hours or whatever it is with either one of these guys. I definitely think there's a certain kind of guy that does this.
Is it your intention to just pick fights with all the?
I am. That's what I want to do. You know, I'm sure they're wonderful people, but I think, come on, I think this takes a certain type of person, certain type of ego, a certain type of.
And don't forget Richard Rollins, the other ones too.
Yeah, so. Was that ever? I thought the consensus was that. He was.
Well, I know. He, right? Yeah, I heard
the fight with him too, right? Let's get everyone's name in the title of this episode.
But I think he fits your description of guys you might not want to be in a car
with. Well, that's for sure. No, I think he's like one of those marathon runners that like hops in a car at mile 6 and then like pops out again at, you know, mile 23. Yeah. I think there's probably more to that, but I, again, not trying to start a fight. You know, hey, any of these guys.
You're not trying, you actually are. You're going to be.
That's right. I think it's going to be what it takes. Any of these guys could have, you know, looked at this as an opportunity. I thought it was very interesting how Jalopnik framed the title was like, you know, three jerks, you know, crush the record or whatever. And Jalopnik is beyond their failure to adhere to proper subject verb agreement and all that in their headlines. They really are, whatever. They're, you know, they're looking for clicks, right? And they're looking for, you know, comment numbers and all that. But, I don't know if these guys were jerks because they did it during this time of the coronavirus or just that anyone who attempts a record like this is just automatically irresponsible. I will say the older I get, there was a time, you know, I probably would have tried something like this. Honestly, that I wouldn't do that now. But I will say, you know, they did it safely. All these guys seem to have done it safely.
I think they've all done it as safely as possible.
Yeah. I grew up with Car and Driver and Brock Yates and reading about this and, part of me, you know, kind of celebrates that this is a thing again. Right. Yeah. Back to your original question of, was this fair? I mean, sure. Why not?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like a once in a century type event, you know, that we have like so many people staying at home and the roads are so empty. I don't know. I feel like it's, I don't know. I might have a slight, I don't really care about them doing it overall, but it's, I think I have a problem with them doing it at this time. I think it will stand for a while because think about all the congestion that they, I mean, yeah, when I read about these guys doing it, they always have the problem, you know, basically from New York through like Ohio, basically.
Right. Right.
You know, with all the, you know, the more congestion in the bigger cities. And
right. Okay.
You know, these guys just flew through. I mean, they crushed the old record.
Yeah. But the guys that were doing this in the original Cannonball were using like 1970s Jaguar XJSs. Sure, fast cars for the time or whatever, but they were dealing with flat tires and breakdowns and things that have been much reduced, right? So, I mean, it's a different era. What happens if we decide to build a new interstate? You know, I know there's a north route and a south route for these attempts, right? What if there's a new route that bypasses both of those? It is not, the record is not a set route. The record is however you do it, right?
Yeah, it's just have to start and end at the same place, but yeah.
Right, right. The Red Ball Garage in New York, and then it's the, what's Redondo. The hotel?
Redondo Beach and Pier in California.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are a million other variables here. I mean, it's obviously someone, you know, working with a, you know, a 2018 or whatever it is, you know, Audi A8.
Yeah.
With 500 horsepower, whatever it has, obviously has an advantage over someone that was doing it in the 70s, right? With the car.
Well, right. But I mean, I guess I don't have the problem. Well, then, so by that logic, I don't have a problem with the last people who did this during the time, even though they're obviously equipped with a much better piece of equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is one of the things that, you know, all drivers being the same, you know, it's going to be easier for people to keep breaking the record because the cars will get faster.
Right.
I guess I hadn't really considered like, you know, if a new highway went in or like even just a part of a shortcut,
you know,
it could shave 20 minutes off this time. But, you know, I guess I hadn't thought about that, but, well, you know. This was the time to try and set it. I mean,
that's it. What are you supposed to not try it? I mean, there was less traffic. I mean, you could pretty much assume that each year, you know, moving forward, there were more and more congestion.
Well, even, What? Even to your point, there's less traffic, but there might have been a higher percentage of police officers on the road, so they may have had a better chance of getting pulled over. So maybe
right. I think all is fair, and I I'll be interested to see who it was. Maybe these guys were past winners. We don't know yet, do we?
No, although I guess we know since they tag Alex Roy and Ed Bullion in this thing, I think we can at least assume it wasn't either of those two guys.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But, it looks like it's they're showing the time is 26 hours, 38 minutes, 48 seconds.
Yeah. No, I have
so fast.
I have no doubt they did it. Obviously they did it in style here in this A8.
Yeah. Comfort, yeah. When Bullion did it, it was like he was doing it in like an old AMG that was
like a 2004 CL55, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it was? Which is, that could actually be a faster car than the A8. I don't know. It's right. There's an argument with sports, right? You maybe should anymore have a two Olympics, right? One where the athletes are quote unquote natural and one where they, can take all the performance enhancing drugs they want. Right. Should these guys have laser jammers and spotters and traffic light changers like you'd have on a fire truck, I mean, what you're doing every cheat as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't you take the ultimate cheat, which is this less traffic? And honestly, hey, I just told you I was on the road. There's still people sitting in the passing lane, right? So, I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe they didn't have the advantage that we thought. I'm sure there was some advantage.
I think there was definitely there must have been advantage in like I said, the big cities on the East Coast that they have to kind of navigate. But, like I said, maybe you're wrong. I mean, I didn't think they have more cops out there looking for less cars. So, they had a bigger chance of maybe getting pulled over. They keep talking about how like all these, all this wildlife is returning to all these like,
parks.
So maybe they had like more deer crossing the road for all I know. And that was a disadvantage.
But, yeah.
You're right. And the cars are just getting better and better. So it's easier, right. And easier to do this. With each passing jet. These cars are faster, more stable, more comfortable at high speeds. They're some of these German luxury sedans are just, low flying cruise missiles basically.
Yeah. So. But you could also argue there was that, people doing it in the 70s or the 80s had presumably the advantage of less traffic, of maybe better roads. They're just obviously the routes are not exactly the same. I mean, it's just roads have been reconfigured. I think there are no rules for something like this. I mean, you're it's inherently an illegal venture, right? So, you're cheating across the board.
Well, and I think, all these people are breaking some laws somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think I do recall hearing a story about one of the earlier guys that broke it. The only reason he broke it is he was using a 928, a Porsche.
Yeah,
but he had found chains that fit on the 928, and he was able to go up and over a pass that was
really
hit with a snowstorm when everyone else had to bail out because they couldn't do it.
That's
so
pretty cool.
That's why he got the win that year is because
that's pretty cool.
What if you
bought an old police car and you drove with the lights and siren on across the country and everyone got out of your way? Well, didn't they do that in the original Cannonball? There was an ambulance or something, right?
In the movie, yeah.
In the movie at least, right? So, but it wasn't a real ambulance, but it was marked up like an ambulance. So, yeah.
Tom Selleck and Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, I think there are no rules whether you mark your car to be like a police car with flashing lights, whether you use spotters, whether you use, as long as you are physically transporting that same group of people in the same car from point A to B, I think this is absolutely a legitimate record. It's an illegitimate pursuit, so it's again.
There has to be rules in the world of illegal cross country.
right. And I will say, I part of me admires this, but again, the older I get, I do think this is probably more and more stupid. But I will also say, I'm glad there are people attempting it. I think I am past my window has passed. I presume yours has as well. But there is certainly a part of me that admires it. And in a world of overregulation and everything else, it's, I think this is kind of a cool thing. So maybe I'm a jerk too, but but I think it's kind of cool. So
yeah, well, so there we go. There's our tag. I think you've almost convinced me that I'm okay with this now. But that was my counterpoint. But and then
it's the peeing in a bottle part. I think that would bother me.
Oh well, yeah, you're right. I think you're out of this game then, my friend.
Right. I just said, in front of two other guys.
Yeah. I think that's standard operating.
Right.
Although, I mean, these guys still, even with this giant auxiliary fuel tank, don't they still have to stop for fuel at least?
Yeah, I suppose they. I think they had to stop. Was it two or three times?
Okay.
But that's not nothing. I mean, I guess in 25 hours, you could probably space out your potty breaks, right?
I could probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you just don't want to be, you can't be drinking beers in the back of the car.
No, well, then, yeah, that's a whole other set of issues, right?
I mean, do you think they fill up the auxiliary tank when they pull over, or do they just fill up the
main? Yeah, they must, right? They must. I think three guys get out or two guys get out. One of them does the regular tank. The other pops the trunk, fills those. Yeah, I think they probably rehearsed it, timed their pit stops, but maybe they don't run into the bathroom. Maybe they don't have time. I so many questions. What if you get in and the door's locked? What if you get in?
And then do you switch drivers, or do you have a dedicated driver the whole time?
I think we'll see. I imagine you do, right? You probably have one guy spotting, one guy driving, one guy napping in the back. Although if I was flying across the country at 120 miles an hour, I'm not sure I could sleep. I don't think anyone's sleeping,
but I think you got two, probably
resting,
two spotters. And we should probably watch, and we can, mention this to our listeners, I guess, Apex. I think it's on Netflix. It might be some other platforms as well too. It's Alex Roy's documentary, his cross country attempts and then the history of it. So that might give us some of the answers that we're
looking for. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure what to think of him. I don't know him. I've never met him. The whole get up with the Pulitzer outfit and the shooting glasses and the, I don't know. I really get him. But then I heard he owns like a hi-fi shop, an audiophile shop in New York, which is kind of cool. So I don't know. Maybe it's all an act. Maybe he's cool as can be. I guess he's done things and I'm sitting here talking about them. So there's that.
He's considered one of the, he was one of the, this cross country race had its heyday in the 70s.
I think he was sort of one that brought it back, right?
Yeah, he kind of reignited it, and he was doing those things, those big rallies over in Europe too with the Polizia M5.
Pulitzer.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, it was. I think it was the German, or at least what I remember, right? With the marked up like the German police car, but yeah,
well, M5, he was in that E39. M5, that really cool, sort of late 90s, early 2000s. That M5.
Yeah, it's an E39, right? I'm gonna get these BMW designations.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's E39 for the M5. Great car. I mean, thing. I'd like to see that in the museum, but.
Well, needless to say, this wasn't Doug and I who set this record. Or was it?
No, we'd be faster than this.
That's right. There you go. And then you want to talk real quick. We just have a couple of minutes, right? But the other big.
I mean, so I feel like we both kind of come down on maybe, approving of this. I definitely do not approve of the asshat in New York City who drove his, there's two problems I have with this guy. First, so he's got a Carrera GT, right? I mean, I think it's one of the most like sought after cars, in all of the automotive kingdom, they're just like these really unique cars, and he had it customized by Gambella. Are you familiar with
this? Yeah, car? Yeah.
Well, I guess he decided to take it out in the streets of New York City and sort of recreate those scenes from I Am Legend with Will Smith.
I've never seen that, but I'll take your word for it.
The opening scene of the movie, the premise of the movie is that this virus has wiped out everybody and Will Smith's the last person in the world. He's driving around Manhattan in a Mustang GT500.
Okay.
Just on the open road, just chasing after deer. it didn't go well for this gentleman. He crashed it, I think twice. I've seen the first crash, which he then drives away from.
Yeah, I think this guy was.
And the second, the second pictures I've seen of it, more of the car is messed up, and he got pulled over, suspicion of driving under the influence of drugs.
I think that probably explains a lot.
It does, I think. This is a car you need to be under the best circumstances. You need to be fully on top of your game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so this guy survives, no problem, but then this is
part of you lose Paul Walker in one of his cars, but not this asshat.
So. Can I admit that I've never seen any of those Fast and Furious movies either?
I'm not surprised to hear that. Yeah,
he doesn't really mean much to me. I hate to say,
I only say because it seemed like after he died, though, it came out that he was actually like a really awesome guy in real life.
I thought he dated a 14-year-old. Apparently, this guy, and we all make mistakes, and but apparently, this is not the first supercar this guy's wrecked. I think it's got some sort of YouTuber. I'm not familiar with him. Don't know what his shtick is, but. He's apparently wrecked a couple of exotic supercars before. This poor car, though,
it's just terrible. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the cost of these things, it might be worth it for someone to try and fix this up, but.
I'm sure someone will.
I mean, these are kind of at the level of the McLaren F1, which I think Rowan Atkinson split one in half and then have it fixed.
I think that's right. So, it's just a shame all around. And that is the steering committee fail of the week for sure, right?
For sure, yeah. So we don't endorse going out and driving like an asshat in the middle of these COVID-19 times. So,
what is an asshat?
Well, this guy.
I've heard that term, and I don't know yet. That's
how about it's something that we don't approve of.
Okay. All right. So you're not. Is that better or worse than being an ass
hole?
Oh yeah.
I think being an asshat is worse than being an asshat.
Is it? Okay.
Because to me, it implies that there's some incompetence involved.
I see. Okay. It's true.
It might just be a huge jerk, but he's not necessarily.
Got it. Yeah. All right, we're going to earn our little explicit label.
Yeah, we're going to definitely have to check off the explicit rating on this one, but sorry, kids.
I think that qualifies. I think you qualify just for turning that car into that modified thing that we're looking at anyway. Yeah, I guess I actually feel a little less bad about it, that it wasn't some pristine, silver
quality.
Anyway, we should probably wrap this up, but poor car. I mean, you or I would have not let that happen, right?
This may have accidentally happened to us, but just because the car is really hard to drive. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, we would have only wrecked it once, right?
Let's sign off on tonight's episode.
I presume we'll still be in quarantine here in the next episode, but we'll see.
We'll come up with some new content. we'll put it up, and we'll see.
I need new tires, Doug. Maybe we can talk about new tires.
Yeah, actually, I got a tire related question for you.
Okay, all right. Next episode of the steering committee, tire special.
All tires. Yeah.
That's all right. Until then.